I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, Mimi. Oh, hey, Gigi. When you're driving around, just seeing the town, sitting bored at home, feeling all alone, fill up the glass, pick out a glass. We got the tea, we got the sauce. Get queerified.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's get queerified.
Hey, you're listening to Queerified, and this is Gigi Gorgeous.
And I am Mimi, currently in Canada, the homeland of our very special guest.
On Queerified, you'll hear from the best of the LGBTQIA+ community.
And like today, our greatest allies.
Before we get started, please remember to call into the Queerified hotline at 1-844-QUEERYS.
That's Q-U-E-E-R-Y-S.
Call and ask us anything. I love giving you advice.
She graced your movie theater covered in hot wax.
She was your favorite girl next door.
Today, we're lucky just to have one of her 24 hours.
She's been listed as one of the sexiest in the world.
And we were sad to see happy endings actually end.
And her husband just scored a grand slam serve in the end zone of the hockey rink out of the park, 40 love.
Dion Phaneuf?
Duh.
Please welcome Gigi's first crush,
Alicia Cuthbert. All right, we are here with the one, the only, the girl next door herself, Alicia Cuthbert.
Hi.
Well, you look gorgeous as ever.
Thank you. I love that we're our pink. We got a pink matching thing.
Yes, and we didn't even plan
it. No.
You look fresh off the plane from Paris on your fresh vacation.
Bonjour. Comment ça va? Oh my God. We look like we just came back from Paris, and I love it. I love that.
Truly, you literally look so stunning.
Oh,
so
thanks.
You're pretty far along with your pregnancy right now, huh?
Oh my gosh. Too far to be here. I don't know. Yeah, I'm like just over 7 months now. So
wow.
I still have a little ways to go, but I'm starting to feel it now. It's that last few months that are really, especially when you're tiny like me, it's like so tedious and treacherous. Your body just is just going through it, you know?
Yeah, so you're 5 foot, like you're really small.
And I've got the flat shoes on because I, like this, with this belly, like I can't wear heels anymore. Like my feet just kill.
I'm
like,
sure.
I'm like an old lady.
Oh my God,
I'm
no.
Old pregnant lady. I'm 5'2", actually.
5'2", okay.
I'm 5'2".
It's the inches that matter.
I'm like 5'2", Lady Gaga.
Damn. Wow, well, I'm sitting at like 5'9 and a half.
I know, I love it.
I'm like 6 foot.
Mark, no, you're not. No, Mark, he's 5'8", I think.
No, I am. How is it being pregnant in the pandemic?
You know what? I feel like I'm on like the better end of the pandemic pregnant because there were so many women that were like in the thick of it where it was like they couldn't leave and, you know, you
so
couldn't
true.
Be vaccinated and it was like... Yeah, treacherous. I feel like I'm, even though it's still pandemic time, it's a lot less scary. So yeah, it's fine. Mm-hmm. It's fine. It gives me a good excuse to hibernate and stay indoors.
Right.
I like to hide away anyway during, I mean, my first pregnancy, I don't think a lot of my friends even knew until I had our daughter. That, yeah, because I was just like, oh, this is not a good look for me. I should just stay at home.
And she actually has a really, really beautiful, unique name. We were talking about it, Paris Hilton's bridal shower.
Sapphire, yeah.
Gorgeous. Spelled with a Z.
Spelled with a Z.
Or a Z.
A Z, like we like to say.
As we say. I love that name. Never heard it before in my life.
Made it up.
Really? From where?
My head.
She said, I saw a sapphire and I thought,
why not throw a Z on that shit?
Wait, you're killing me.
I wanted something really unique. And I know this sounds crazy, but I actually, the truth of it all is that I was having such a hard time choosing and figuring out a name. And I remember one night, I actually, it was Halloween and I was like, I was getting close to her birth, and I was just like, I had said to the universe, I was like, please, I realize I'm not going to be able to come up with this on my own. I need your help. Like, whatever this child's name is supposed to be, just show me her name. And I really, really screamed at the universe. And that evening, I actually saw Zafire. I saw her name, and I was like, okay, I got it. Figured
oh my
it
God.
Out. Yeah. So I'm hoping for this second pregnancy, I'm going to do the same. I'm going to start yelling at the universe soon because I don't have anything yet. So.
You have nothing yet? Nothing. Oh, I was going to ask you because that's such a genius name. And I kept know. Thinking like that is so brilliant of a name.
I can't go with like Tom.
Well, you could if you wanted to because you already have Zafire.
Yeah, hers is cool enough.
You named them all gemstones, diamond.
Right. Well, I do love Garnet, but we know Garnet.
I love Garnet.
It sounds almost like a last name.
Yeah, I see what you said.
Oh my God, the Gardener 401, the Gardener?
The Gardener.
The highway.
Oh my God, the Gardener.
Canadian jokes.
That would be amazing. You're like, try the 405, bitch. The 405 is so insane.
Is that in California?
Yeah, this is sounding like the SNL skit.
Yes,
like,
si, take senor. The Fairfax down.
To the 405.
Have you ever hosted SNL?
I almost hosted SNL, and then I totally chickened out. This was many years
ago.
Scary.
What?
It's scary.
I know.
You got the opportunity and you didn't?
It's intense. It's very scary.
There was a little talk. If I was interested, they'd sort of put some feelers out, I was too young. I was too. Mm-hmm. I don't think I was confident enough at that time. I mean, I would do it in a heartbeat now, but no, I just wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing this was like 10 years ago, because even 10 years ago, SNL was even bigger than now.
Yeah. Oh, so. Yeah. Yeah. It was right around the girl next. Yeah, it was like Girl Next Door time. 24 was still on, and. I had just done Old School, and yeah, it was a good moment for me, but it was just like, yeah, it was too much, too overwhelming.
You got to know when to say no sometimes, I feel. Or
yeah,
just
or
be
what
like,
you're
that's
capable of.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I might blow that. Like it's not the right time.
It could go both ways. Like if you suck, it would be really bad.
Now I try to like not let my fear or anxiety get in the way of opportunities. Because I think I did really miss out on some things, probably like that, for example, that my fear and my insecurities got in the way of me just going, screw it. Like, what's the worst that could happen? I had a lot in my earlier career where I felt like I had to be perfect or felt like every performance had to be so spot on. And I worked really hard at trying to like control all of that. And then when I started doing, it's funny, when I got out of drama and I started doing comedy, there was a newfound freedom that I kind of had discovered where I was like, kind of let go of a lot of those barriers for myself. And it was like, it's okay to fall on my face.
It makes sense.
No one is going to, like, what's the worst that's going to happen?
Right.
Like, you know, but I, as a young actor, I was like, I just didn't want to get fired. I just wanted to be great every time. And so things like SNL were like, oh, there's no way. I would fail completely. And but then, you know, you get older and you have more experience and you get more confident. And I was like, you know, I could see myself. I try really to not like let those things deter and stop me from doing things. Now I actually like look for things that are kind of fearful.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
Like I think that's when you're really flowing is when you're like, bring me the things that terrify me because I feel like those are the things that I'm going to like are going to shine.
Right. And if you don't feel that adrenaline, like I feel like as people in the entertainment industry, we are people with, adrenaline junkie syndrome. Like we just want to feel right. So I feel like the more you get older, the more you're like, that sounds kind of fun. And I actually want to say something. This may be totally left field, but two things actually, starting with, I was like the biggest fan of Popular Mechanics for Kids. Oh, and 24. And I watched literally every single episode of every single thing that you were on.
Oh my gosh.
Like completely obsessed.
Did you watch Popular Mechanics like at home, at school? Like
I watched
school?
It before school.
Before school. Okay. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right,
so
right,
we would, it would be reruns. I don't think that would be when the new episodes aired, but me and my brothers, I would make them watch for you.
Amazing. Amazing.
I'm fangirling. Yeah. And I really, I totally like have just been with you for your whole thing. So I really love that 24 was so like drama. For
yes.
you, and you were feeling that. Like, I relate
I was.
With that.
I, and you know what? I felt like I needed that coming off of something like that as a child actor. And, but it's interesting, like, Popular Mechanics was as fun as it was and as great as it was. you know, to do, and you're sort of doing it now in that interview style where you are not the one, you know, being interviewed, but you're like asking the questions.
Right.
It's not easy. There's an art to it. Like there's a flow, there's a rhythm. But yeah, I mean, that was a really fun time. And I did learn a lot from that.
And you were young too.
Really young.
You were literally
15,
like
16, 17.
I saw you, I forget when I had watched it, but I saw you as my equal age.
Yeah.
Like I never thought this girl is more mature than me. She's on TV. I was like, I could do that. She's killing it. Like I really always felt that.
Representation.
Yeah, no, full on, like full on. And I really think it's so important now because like just to be visible and also to go back to your first point of doing something that scares you.
Right.
And I am a huge person that believes, my mom always said, do one thing a day that scares you.
That's amazing. No one ever said that to me.
You're never going to know when people aren't going to be calling your name or asking you to do these things. So if they ask you to do a project, say, yeah, unless you're like double booked or something bad, you know, like just go off and do it, because I feel like it, you never know who you're going to touch. You never know who you're going to like really inspire and prick on the head. And like you really did imprint on me.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
You did.
I
yeah.
love hearing that.
And I don't know if you felt it at Paris's bridal shower.
Oh, no. It was so sweet. You came on and I was like, I knew exactly who you were. And you were like, oh, my God, we're finally meeting. And I was like, it was so interesting because it was like instantly it felt comfortable, like we'd known each other, but we had never met before. But yet, you know, there was that thing where I've seen sort of you come up now and then you saw me sort of come up. So, you know, yeah, there's that thing where I feel like we both, you know, being from Canada, there was that little something. Everyone was looking at us like, do they know each other or do
no,
they
I
not
know.
Know each other? What's happening?
And there's always the height difference, the physical space in the room. I was in my 6-inch platform.
I had a massive belly.
How long have you been in the U.S. for? Because your Canadian accent is gone. I think I heard you say popular.
Popular. No, yeah, mine. No, it's I don't sound like Brooklyn Heights. That's for sure.
No.
Brooklyn Heights still has that thick accent. It's crazy.
She's putting it on.
She keeps it. It. That's on. What I'm going to say. Oh. She's a show queen. I feel like she's like a dancer, singer.
Okay, so she's like, she wants to keep that Canadian.
I think so. She must be. Because have you ever heard her speak like that in person, Gigi?
I actually have. And I call her on it because the aboots and the.
Yeah,
I didn't,
the aboots are so strong.
It's thick. It's thick. It's
thick.
It's no A's. It's all O's. Double O's.
Yes.
Speaking of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Canada's Drag
yes.
Race.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I've been dying for you to bring this up.
Yeah. I've been dying to hear you speak on this.
Okay.
So for anybody that doesn't know, Alicia actually opened up Canada's Drag Race.
Yeah.
The original host.
Yes, I did not know what I was walking into. First of all, you know, and I told you this a little bit at Paris's, I am such a huge fan of everything Drag Race, everything
okay.
RuPaul. RuPaul and I worked together on a show called Happy Endings. He came on and to do a guest spot
show.
On, thank you, a guest spot on that show. And he was like, I have this show, da da da. Anyway, I end up finding it. At the time it was on something other than VH1 at first. And it was like, it was Logo. Yeah, so I started on Logo. Then it went to VH1, and then it's like, now it's on all these streaming things. And then they were going to do the Canadian one. And I got an email saying, hey, we're doing Canada's Drag Race. Would you like to be a judge? Just putting the feelers out. I'm like, would I like to?
Hell yeah.
I'll die.
It's in the stars.
I literally am like, this is what I was meant to do.
Yes.
I was freaking out. So I'm like, absolutely. So once they found out that I wanted to do it, they were like, well, how about you come on and do the first episode of the first season? And I went, oh my gosh, this is so major. This is so huge. So I was just on cloud nine and so excited. And so I get there not realizing that like there's going to be some kinks because one, it's never happened. It's the first season.
Right.
It's the first episode. And I did get a little heat for saying some of those iconic Rue lines because.
Oh, is that what it
you
was
were doing
for?
Your
the
job.
Heat.
I know. But you know, it's funny. It's like I don't understand why the format of it for Canada was that. But when I got there, I listened to the producers. They were like, listen, Brooklyn's going to say these lines. You're going to say these ones. And I was like, I was so gagged to be able to say like, don't fuck it up. Like I literally was so excited to say any of those iconic lines.
As it should be though, like anybody getting to be able to say those lines, even getting an earpiece when I was there as a guest judge, I'll yeah. talk about it later, but I feel like it is such a privilege. Like
I know.
Anything that
Honor.
RuPaul touches is like okay, so this is set in stone and everyone feels great about it.
Right. So I was like, I'm not a producer on this. This is not my call. I'm here to just to be the guest judge. And
what are you going to do? Say no.
But in hindsight, and we talked about this, I thought maybe I should have said, well, no, in hindsight, I thought, you know, after hearing the backlash, I totally kind of, I got it. I was like, how dare I say
no.
Those lines?
Can you talk about backlash a little bit? Like, what exactly were people saying?
Because the fandom is crazy.
The fandom was crazy. It was like, why is this girl saying these iconic Rue lines? Why isn't Brooklyn saying them? She's the host. And I was like, I got it. And I was like, when I was there, I think I should have just, instead of being in my excitement of it all, I should have put my little producer pink hat on and said, you know, maybe I shouldn't say those lines. Maybe those should be for Brooklyn. But I was just, honestly, I was going with the flow. That I swear to God.
No, I bet.
I was going
absolutely
with the flow. I was ready. I was team player. I was ready to, like, whatever you guys want me to do. I can't even believe I'm here. I remember going backstage and going behind the mirror where they're all getting ready.
I had that moment too.
I thought they could see me.
Me too. And I kept laughing.
I kept
and they
dying.
Were like, relax, the ceiling is there's no like ceiling
a,
on it.
So yeah, wait, like, so it's double mirror
it's
inside
double mirror.
The workroom. You can see from outside to the inside, you can see the queens.
Because there's camera guys and stuff. You know when they have those really great, well, first of all, when they're doing their makeup and they're having those really great in-depth conversations.
The emotional moments,
oh
yes.
Oh my gosh, the emotional moments. I mean, so there's camera guys there. And so they have this double-sided mirror. Oh my gosh, it is such a trip.
It's crazy because, so season one, actually, I want to bring this up because I had the same experience. So season one, it was in a warehouse and you guys filmed in the winter. So you were in
freezing
cold weather, right. So when we filmed, it was summer, like when I went out in my dress, it was pretty much, I mean, I was hotter outside than I was inside, but it was because of the AC and the humidity.
Oh no.
But I remember going right behind the mirror and it's not like true crime, how you see on like, you know, I don't know, any
like interrogations
double,
or what, like the cops looking
in. It's bright. It looks like when they look in the mirror, it feels like they see you and you're like, oh no,
swear,
stop moving. Because they can't see you. You're the guest judge. It's like,
I know, and you don't want to like reveal yourself before it's like too early. And I swear, I'm like, it's like they're looking into your soul when they're doing their makeup in the mirror and you're looking at
them.
Oh my
God, you stood there in front of them?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was like, my eyeballs were like, I wanted to see everything. I didn't want to leave. And they're like, Alicia, we need you now. I'm like, can I just have 5 more minutes? Can I just have 5 more minutes to stare at these guys? They're so good.
Those girls are going to listen to this and think, oh my God, Alicia Cuthbert was fucking staring at me while I was doing my makeup.
I was number one creep. Number one creep.
I actually saw when I walked in, the girls were still in boy mode. They hadn't started their drag transformations yet.
Yes.
So I had walked in behind the double mirrors and I was looking at them and I was thinking to myself, who is that?
Yes.
I know them as their drag faces. Like I know the girls. I was so gagged. I was like, I know a couple, but I had wished that I had seen that because I want them right in my face.
Yeah. And some were in, some were out. So there was like, they were in different, because it was also a design challenge. So they had, some of them were still sewing and stuff like that. But, and Juicebox, I don't know if you remember. But
I love Juicebox, yes.
Oh, and so do I. But Juicebox looks so different out of drag. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't know. I was like, who's that? I was like, they were like, that's Juicebox. I was like, what? I was like, I am so confused right now.
That man with a beard?
That man with a beard is Juicebox? I'm so confused. But yeah, it was crazy.
Wait, Alicia, do you remember that lip sync?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Who do you think should have won?
Lemon.
Really?
I fought so hard behind the scenes for Lemon because I felt like she had done some like drops and splits and she just had brought a little bit more flavor to me. But I love Juicebox so much. You know what? The first episode is so hard. You never want to see that first queen go home.
Of course not.
I mean, that is going to be, you get to meet every single queen, first of all, which is so an honor and a thrill because you get to see you didn't get to see everybody.
Oh God, maybe hopefully season three. Hey,
yeah, get
wow
on that first episode. But then there's the flip side of the first episode, which is like that first queen's got to go. And I know that Brooklyn really loved and personally knew Juicebox. I mean, we spent deliberating so much time. I don't know how
I
much.
I heard that. Do you actually deliberate for real, for reals?
Oh,
that
for was real.
That
for
was
real.
The biggest mm-hmm. shock to me. Yeah. I had thought, watching the show for years,
producers.
I had thought that it was just producers, no. And you go off, mm-hmm. and you. I mean, no, you don't even go off. You sit in your chair. The judges sit. They get a little
we
earpiece or something.
We went off.
So did we.
Oh,
on
you
my
did
episode,
go off.
Yes,
because yeah, it got.
And
yeah.
I had like a separate dressing room because I was the guest judge, yeah. And I was kind of wandering around as I do. And I saw where all the main judges were, and I just poked my head in and I said, hey, can I come in? They were all crying. All of them were really upset. And I was
know.
Like, let's talk through this. And they asked my opinion. And yes. I was like, this is really, really major. And then yeah. when we came back onto set, the producer screamed over the mic, breaths, girls. And the two girls who were lip syncing went, like they had just finished, and I was like, okay, this breath is the TV gold. I said, so this, because we had deliberated so
them.
Long, they weren't
commitment.
On they weren't out of breath anymore.
Brooklyn was like, that's it, we've got to have a you know, a conversation. Now I wasn't a meeting with the other producers, and yeah, the main judges went into this sort of private room, same thing. I was sort of outside of that, and then I was like, I did the same as you. I popped my head in, and I was like, can I give my 2 cents, or is that was like, do you mind? Like, I feel like I've flown all the way over here. I feel like I just want to say one thing. That death drop was crazy. If you send Lemon home, it's a crime.
I love that.
Oh my God. Agree to disagree, but
I
oh wow.
know. But how do you, it's tough.
It's crazy so though, because when you're there though, it's so different. Like they could perform like shit and I would have been like, that's the best drag show I've ever seen. Because it's so loud. The lights, like I was like, I don't even really remember what happened. It was just so much fun.
Oh, it's such a great show. And in person, it's like surreal.
To focus is such a big, I think, feat for a judge, yeah. to be able to put all that out and really focus on what they're doing and
put your personal feelings aside for the girls that you may or may not know, you know. So that was the other thing too.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
What was the biggest surprise for you guys?
I think, honestly, the judging thing for me,
the
definitely.
Judging, really?
Yeah. And also, it was really funny because I'm not punny. You know, I
oh,
think
right.
I'm
coming
pretty
up with like,
funny mm-hmm. on the spot, and mm-hmm. like whatever stand up moments, but I'm not punny. So I was really there being like, you guys are really going to have to tell me what to say if you want some like runway puns. Like, or you're going to have to like give me the looks so I could brainstorm. The things they came up with were so funny and stupid.
Yeah, silly.
That we would really laugh. And like in the episode, there's laughter of us laughing about how stupid we sound.
Yep.
And when you watch it, it's complete, it hits.
I still don't want to believe though that like someone's feeding Michelle Visage like those little one-liners.
I think her and Rue made up the pun moment.
Yeah.
And everyone else needs to follow
those
suit behind
be
their
real.
Punniness.
Yeah. And everyone's like, we need help. We're yes. not like that.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's built around RuPaul. Like, they're punning because of Rue. So I'm sure Rue loves it. They didn't put it on Rue, right? So
I don't even know what a pun is at this point. Like, I know a haiku.
we write limericks.
A little one-liner, a little zing zing.
I'll give a zing, not a limb.
I know. It was like, it was so, I was the same as you. I was just so in awe of them coming down the runway that I was like, I wasn't gonna start freestyling like funny little anecdotes.
Right.
You know, I was just like, oh my gosh, writing their names down, how I felt about it. I didn't know how much of the judging I was gonna need to do. So I wanted to be like totally prepared.
Right.
Crazy.
Something else I did, we did the walkthrough. When you got to set the first time, did they give you like a little walkthrough and bring yeah. you on stage in like no clothing, no hair, makeup, nothing? Yes. I did that with one of the guys and I broke a light bulb right off the bat, shattered it with my little sneaker. And I was like, oh my God, worst first impression ever. My hair is wet, fresh out of the shower, no makeup, sunglasses. I'm like, I'm the worst guest judge of life.
Did you bring your own hair team and makeup team or did you?
I didn't. No, I just used
them?
Theirs. Yeah.
Okay. And I did the same thing. And I was like,
they're great.
They're amazing. And I did like 2 hours of hair and makeup. I was like really enjoying.
Is that a lot? That's a light day.
Oh, It is?
Well, not for something like
this. I feel like on TV, it's a long time.
I probably did, honestly, like 3.5, 4 that day. Just kept touching up. Yeah.
Do you know who did it? Was it Victor Peters or no?
Victor didn't. I actually did my own makeup. So maybe not 3.5, 4. Probably 2 hours of straight blowout on my hair because I had tape ins at the time.
Yeah.
So it was just a lot of tugging and pulling.
I also got a little bit of heat for my ponytail.
Because
I had this like crazy like Madonna ponytail. Anyway.
Like super high.
It was super high. But what I didn't, I think the way like my head was tilted or something, like it was kind of crooked. And there was like afterwards, it wasn't like perfectly straight.
Okay. Yeah.
So I got a couple of like memes where it was like
I'm the ponytail.
It was at 1 o'clock instead of noon.
I'm dying.
It was amazing.
Well, now that's just clever.
But those I like.
Yeah. Well, those, now that's just funny.
Like, I was actually like living for those. Like that heat, bring it. Because oh, I was God. Like, I need these in my life. This is so good. I was like, I had no idea my ponytail was off by like an hour.
And probably no one else did, or else they would have fixed it.
Yeah, no one said anything. Everyone was like, you
know what?
Amazing.
They're fired. That hair person is fired now.
Right?
No, I feel like the fandom is just so intense. It can be really good, really bad, in between. Yeah. They can like you, they can hate you. But I think here on Queerified, we were obsessed with you.
Oh,
and when
gosh.
You said that you had seen me before and you're like, you said you just did Drag Race, didn't you? I was like, yeah. Oh my God, she knows.
Because I saw your preview and I, because of course, you know, when they do like a little teaser for the season and I saw you and I was like, and by the way, you, oh my God, on that episode are like, how have we not spoken about this? I'm so sorry. Let's just stop everything. What the F? How did we go even further than this without saying like you looked ridiculous.
Oh my God, thanks guys.
I was like, I couldn't talk. I was like literally dying.
It's been my dream to do that. So I knew exactly how I wanted to look. And I said, if I'm going to go on that stage, I'm going to bring it.
I felt like that's what I wanted for myself too. And in my head, I looked like that.
You did.
No, I did not. No, but I was like, oh my God, this is Ed. Gigi looks exactly like every person wants to look when they come on this show. So nuts. It was so out of control.
Could I love you more?
But
I don't know.
And how about the way all the girls reacted when they found out that you were...
really sweet.
I was like gonna cry. And then Kendall Jenner was like... She was almost like, she was in tears.
Well, her and I share very similar stories.
Oh, okay.
Which is so crazy. Yeah, we're very open about our relationship. So she's dating a trans woman. And I'm really open about dating my trans husband. So, I had known her before and been a huge fan of her.
I didn't know that.
And there's so much, you know, the other thing that really surprised me was the lengthiness of each girl that you go through. It's really long. And like, as the guest judge, I went last. So it was very much Brooklyn, Brad, Amanda, and then me. So I was like, okay, got to think of something new to say because all of them took my opinions. But every, like, there's so many moments I had with the girls on stage that obviously didn't make it to episode because of the time.
Yeah, of course.
But like, there's so many moments you have with those girls on stage, which is why these connections are so meaningful past the show. Like why RuPaul and Michelle and like us, you know, we have these connections towards these queens because we've seen things that other people don't get to see.
Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest honors I had on that show.
Yeah. And they were so, so thrilled that you were there and it meant the world to them, which was so incredible to see. I mean, that's what you want from a guest judge. Like, you were the perfect guest judge.
Alicia.
You looked insane.
Oh, I can't with you.
Oh my God.
Alicia, I want to ask you a question. Have you read Gigi's book?
No.
You haven't read Gigi's book?
Did you know that you're in it?
No.
Yes. You're in it.
I'm in
this book. I have it here. Yes. You are in this book. And I actually want to read a little.
I'm sweating.
Snippet. I'm not going to be so stupid, but I told you that I die for you. So you're in the chapter called Icons I Die For.
Mm-hmm.
This is insane.
Yeah. So I'm not going to read it all because it's so embarrassing.
I see my name right here.
You're on the same page with Lady Gaga and Celine Dion.
What is happening? Oh my God.
I live for you. I live for you.
Gigi.
So basically, I'm just going to read the little end. I said, this is about Alicia Cuthbert. I was obsessed with her and I wanted to look like her. Did I mention she's Canadian? She was this blonde, gorgeous bombshell. Oh my God, am I slurring in front of Alicia? I'm so nervous.
I'm nervous. You're making me nervous. This is insane.
Okay.
I can't believe this.
Okay, did I mention she's Canadian? She was this blonde, gorgeous bombshell and she was my beard. You know how gay guys have girlfriends and call them their beard? Well, she was mine. She was the background on my computer screen. I really was consumed with her. But deep down, I just wanted to look like her. It's true. I mean, I loved you. No, you were my first girl crush. I really did like love you. But also deep down, I think subconsciously, I was like, I really love that blonde, sexy bombshell girl. And I think that's why you like imprinted on me so much.
That is incredible. Oh my God, Gigi. Yes.
There were posters on the wall and everything.
Yes. It was all Sassy 24. Hello.
You are so amazing. And I can't, I mean, to think that I had anything to do with like a vision for you that felt right is like so incredible. I
was
honored.
Right time, right place. I mean, I don't want to creep you out.
Wacky.
Really, like, gotta say it. Hello. You gotta say it.
You are so sweet. I need this book.
Well, we love. Oh, I have copies downstairs. I'll give you one.
Oh my God.
Yes.
I'm gonna show everybody this in my life.
Okay, Mark, can we move on?
No.
Embarrassing.
No, not embarrassing.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I want to actually ask you one last question just to go off of Canada's Drag Race. So you are like a serious actress. I want to know, I'm familiar with so many of your projects, 24, Happy Endings, House of Wax, Girl Next Door.
Oh my God, House of Wax. How have we not talked about House of Wax?
That's how I know Paris. That's why I've been still friends with her since the movie.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And she loves you. I've talked with her about you before.
So sweet.
She's obsessed. I want to know one of your most meaningful projects that you still kind of carry with you. Because I know actresses, people who are in the industry, they bring on characters with them, right?
Right, yeah.
Like what was one that you, whether it was like a cult classic or something unexpected?
I think I carry all of them, like little pieces of everything, you know? It's interesting. I like 24, like they're just such moments in the timeline of my life and my career that I can't help but each one having it be a sort of stepping stone into the next thing.
Right.
So they are all really special for different reasons. 24, I mean, I was so young and so eager to make it here in California. Mm-hmm. And like,
is this where you filmed it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was the project that kept me here and made me not have to go back to Canada and like
for
go to
seasons,
college.
Right?
Yeah.
Is this how you got your visa at 24?
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking about that. I was like, I wonder what the moment she got her visa was.
And you know, like coming from Canada, like
so hard,
you know, making it here and feeling like you've done it. You don't have to go back unless you want to, and you can just do that. So for a long time, I couldn't even go home to visit because I was in the process of visas and green cards and da 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 da.
So I'm out right now with my green card.
It's so difficult. And so it was a process and I missed a lot of family things. But you know, when you're dedicated and you know that this is right and this is what you want to do. So it was just 24 was very special.
It was. And it seasons was, and seasons, seasons and seasons. Jack Bauer.
So iconic.
You still talk to him?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, I just love that.
It's so funny. It was so crazy. I just did a podcast actually, or not a podcast, but like a Zoom thing, reunion, like a Zoom reunion because it was the 20th anniversary, believe it or not.
That's insane.
I'm getting old.
Oh my God. 20th? What?
Yeah, I know. So from the day it aired. So it was so crazy. November 9th was, 20 years ago.
Oh, insane.
My gosh. So that was a real trip going back and like reminiscing about that. It was so wild.
Every episode, if people aren't familiar, you basically got kidnapped.
Yeah.
Shot at.
Yeah.
Thrown in the back of a truck.
Oh, whatever they could do to me.
It was insane. It was
attacked by a cougar.
When will she die? Yeah, like every episode was something.
It was insane.
You'd get away for 5 minutes and then it'd be like, and you get kidnapped again.
So crazy.
It was everything though.
The one movie though that you'd probably be surprised that was like the most difficult was The Girl Next Door.
Really? How so?
Because the pressure, but
to be hot.
Yeah.
Sexy. Yeah.
Yeah. I think to live up to the expectations of every guy's fantasy because of the girl, of what that girl next door would be. And the funny thing about it was that I had a great conversation with the director, Luke Greenfield, about how in Weird Science, you never saw Kelly LeBrock naked. It would like, do you remember there was like, did you ever see Weird Science?
I didn't know.
It's really fun.
But I could imagine, yeah.
So there's this shower scene where these two nerds sort of like create like the perfect woman. Okay. And they do this like pan shot of, you know, from her head to her feet. And you think, okay, you're definitely going to see. But they kind of like cut back to the boys right at the perfect time where they don't see any like major nudity. But there's like, you know, it's still.
Like nipple curve.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It gives the fantasy.
It's a fantasy, but it's like then you could kind of create what you thought in your mind was like the perfect woman.
For you, not so much.
No, well, there was, but yeah, but in the movie, in The Girl Next Door, I remember saying to the director, like when we have those scenes where he sees me, you know, next door, there was like there was like a little bit of nudity, but there wasn't full frontal, there wasn't full nudity.
Right.
So I think it gave, you know, everyone a chance to kind of come up with in their own minds what this woman.
Theater of the mind.
Exactly. And so, but that was a stretch for me because it was like having
to. Oh, come on. No,
because I just felt, no, it was like having to get into that like full body makeup, full like hair extension. It was my first taste of like really going full on with hair, makeup, the whole deal. And I was like, wow, this is a trip. Like this is really out of my comfort zone.
It goes back to what you were saying. I could imagine with wanting to do well. Like being, you wanted to be that girl.
For everybody.
Right.
And it was really a high standard and really not realistic. And then after that, it was like, then there was this projection of other people feeling like I had to look like that all the time.
Oh, yes.
And then there was this culture.
Like your brand all of a sudden.
It was a brand and I had to break away from that brand. And I think that's why the House of Waxes sort of came. And I tried to kind of go towards things like that because I wanted to sort of break that perfection of the girl next door.
I love that.
That was really, really hard to keep sustaining, you know. And it was during a time when, and you probably remember this, was like the era of like Maxim and FHM.
FHM, yes.
Oh my God. And they were putting me on all those lists. And I was just like, this is not what I am.
Yeah.
This is not.
You know, it's so funny because so many girls in Hollywood, especially the sexy ones, the ones that are like, they go to the surgeon's office. I want blank blank's nose. I want blank blank's boobs, whatever. I want blank blank's butt. They're all the most insecure girls because of that. They've just been smoke and mirrored for so long. And it's so crazy because in The Girl Next Door, you look so natural. You look, I'm sure if anybody were to Google pictures right now, it literally just looks like they threw you in low rise jeans, a bra, a wet shirt, whatever it may be. But you know, we all know what goes behind that.
Yeah.
Full body makeup, hair extensions, like you said.
I think I also had a little bit of like, even after like that FHM thing and the Maxim thing, where in my like early 20s, I had like sort of body dysmorphia afterwards because of how much it was retouched. I didn't.
You're like, I kind of look like that then, huh? For that shoot.
I thought that's what I looked like. Right. I literally thought.
Oh, it's so mean.
That was the time of Photoshop though. Like that was like.
And I was like, wow, I turned that photo shoot out.
And severe Photoshop.
So
like they really scoop your back out and really bring the
like make your arms like, toothpicks, like insane.
I had no idea that they were messing with my arms, my shoulders, my elbows. I was like, wow, I really. And so the body dysmorphia kicks in because you're like, how come I'm not looking like, what is wait, what happened? You're like,
I've been working out.
Yeah,
I great.
There was a real like I had to really rediscover like what I was about and who I was, and it was really interesting.
I love that you're talking about that. It's really, really important. Yes. I feel like for people on this podcast, it is our safe space. Yeah. And I mean, there's definitely people listening that are going through that. And I go through that too sometimes. Yeah. I really do.
You have to, and you always look so great. And I feel like you're so good on social media. Is it difficult for you to like feel like you have to represent every single, like, are you ever just in like your sweats or like,
oh
what?
God, yes. 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 See what I do.
Okay.
So
good.
What I do, how I balance it internally, because I think people have body dysmorphia and especially trans people do.
Right.
It's so much deeper. So I feel like what I do is I full glam it.
Okay.
And then I reel it all the way back.
Okay.
Fresh out of the shower, sweats, hair slicked back, no makeup. Like right. Really give them the
Which
realness.
Which is still stunning.
Well, thank you, but not compared to obviously. Right. But I feel like everyone now is so photoshopped, so perfect that it's you just got to make yourself sane.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know what's so funny? Like, I am so not, I don't like getting glam. Like, I.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm did like, you ever?
No.
You never did?
Never.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I live for it. But, you really are.
But I'm not saying it because of that. I honestly, I'm just sort of like, oh, I was just always like.
Some people
I'm
don't. More of like, you just cringed at 2 hours earlier.
Cringe. Here's the thing. But you know me from the beginning. Like that, the girl, like that Popular Mechanics for Kids girl.
Yes.
That was me.
Right.
That was me. That's me. I'm more of like, I think I'm like at the core, like more of a tomboy in a lot of ways.
I love that.
Yeah. And I love feel that. Like I have more fun with fashion than I do with glam. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think I'm a little bit more quirky because I think I have an artistic side that I'm like, I use fashion in a way to like just have fun. But like glam, like when I look at the Kardashians, I'm exhausted.
It is. You really got to love it. You have to
love it. So I'm always so impressed and so blown away by the girls that just live for it.
Yeah, I live for it because I know the end goal, but I'm the kind of girl
it's
too.
It's also therapeutic for you.
Oh, I live. See? I do it myself. Like, I love doing my makeup. I love it. But I'm the kind of girl too where I'll get ready from the neck up, like full hair, full makeup, and then just wear sweats with little sneaks. So the fashion maybe not is me, right? Like it all comes. Yeah. I just love feeling gorge.
Yeah.
I love it. Love it, love, love. Like in the face.
I love that. I need tips.
Not at all. I need tips from you. We might be like yin and yang about
I know,
it. Honestly.
That's amazing.
Alicia, thank you so much for joining us on Queerified. Will you stay and answer a couple of questions from our fans?
Yes, I would love to.
We'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull and Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code ODYSSEY. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome back. We are here with the one, the only, Alicia Cuthbert.
Hi.
And we are going to answer some of your queries. If you guys don't know, we have a hotline here on Queerified. You can reach it at 1-844-QUEERIES. That's Q-U-E-E-R-Y-S. Call and ask us anything. Nothing is off limits. And today we're with Alicia Cuthbert. So right? Let's get into it.
You could have called in and Alicia Cuthbert could have answered your question. So here we go. Love our first query.
Hi, Gigi. Hi, Mimi. This is Kayvon calling again from Los Angeles, California. I did end up coming out to my family before the episode came out. I don't even know if I'm in it. But it went well. They're very supportive, which is just a dream. And I'm so grateful for it and so happy that I just don't have to hide now. But I do have another question that I do have an advice query, I guess. So I have some friends that I feel like I feel like we're becoming very distant, and I don't really know why. I see one of them at work all the time, we're fine, but they don't really invite me out anywhere, and they don't really respond whenever I like talk in the group chat. If they do, it's like pretty short, and like I just like, I'm not really sure what's going on. I like haven't really said or done much to them at all. Like I haven't done anything negative at all to them. I mean, one time, like I told one of the friends in the group, like it was just like kind of rude, like this and this happened. And she was like, I know, I'm sorry, but like I'm just like very busy. And you know, and I understood it, and I learned from that, but like I understand being busy. Sorry, this is going on for like 20 years, Jesus. But I just want to know, like, how do I go about like seeing like what's up? You know, like how do I go about doing that, asking that without like making things awkward? Love ya.
Thank you for that query. First of all, congratulations on coming out. We're glad that it went well. This is a great question. I've never gotten this question before. Do you have anything to say? Do you want to go first?
Oh, I actually was going to pass it off to Alicia, but I do have a little bit to say. So congrats on coming out. So glad to hear from you again. That is so major. So happy that it went well. As far as the friendships go, I think it's pretty natural to stray from certain kinds of people. And I think communication is obviously number one within friendships and any kind of relationship. You know, if you feel things are weird and you care to make it better, you do have a phone. They do have a phone. Pick up the phone and talk to them, you know, schedule something. But it sounds like things are weird. Alicia, I was going to wonder, because we have gotten questions like this in the past. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've had friends that have gone sour, yeah. Gone great.
Yeah.
You've had friends for a decade.
And he was talking about, these are friends from work, right?
Oh, I didn't even hear that
I think
part.
One of them was from work. So just like a bunch of, yeah.
I always find that's tricky because it's
I don't mix.
I know. I was just going to say. It's really hard to expect work friends to act sort of like friends, you know?
BFFs.
Yeah. Exactly. So to expect from them the sort of same result you would from like a BFF is really difficult. So I don't know. I mean,
we have said, so we are like one of the only friends that we have for over a decade. And we always say.
A decade?
Well, more than a decade. No,
it's
we're not
20 years.
We're not at 2 decades yet. No, we're not. We haven't been friends since we were 9. We got a liar in the room. No, we always say that friends really don't require that much work when they're long-term friends.
Yes.
Do you agree with that?
I think, yeah. Yeah, because the thing is, when it's true friends, you're both giving of the same sort of commitment as far as investing in the friendship. So if both people are committed equally, you're going to have a really good time just being friends and staying friends. But it sounds like to me that he's committing a bit more than the rest in this avenue anyway. So I don't know, maybe... Do you think something went awry or something? I couldn't understand.
Sounds like it. Something happened.
Yeah, it sounds like he's scared to be himself now. And first of all, no. Like, if you can't be yourself around your friends, they're not your friends. Like, as awful as you may think you are, you should find friends that like you. Because if they don't, like, that's not helpful for them. It's not healthy for you. It's not going to feel good. So, I've talked about this before, but I always used to not be able to let go. It would really upset me when things would end. But it's like Gigi said, it's very natural. And you will find your friends. You will find your people. It's just, I don't think you should have to try with friends, basically at all. Because my friendships, I've never really had to try. So
it is, right? Well, thank you so much for that query. And hopefully this is just going to work itself out or not.
Give us an update. Maybe you find a solution that we don't know. So please let us know. Okay. Our next query.
Hi there. My name is Rita, and I'm a big bone gal from Southern Alberta. My friends always say you just can't call her small. Well, I play a vital role in all-girls golf leagues, but have recently found in my 40s that I prefer the company of a woman, if you know what I mean. And I'm just kind of wondering what's the best way to let these folks know what steams my clams. I'm a big fan of the show. And love your guys' work. And I guess I'll just end this call with stay gorgeous.
Rita, thank you so much for that question.
She's adorable.
Rita
from-
She's everything.
Is she a country singer?
I need to meet her.
Southern Alberta, did she say?
Yeah. Yes. And I was like, where does she get that accent in Alberta?
Yeah, I think she might have been faking it.
By the way, that's not how we sound in Alberta. No. So she's a very good actress. You should come up to Hollywood and bring that little accent of yours, girl.
Oh my God.
She was like, I'm just a big bone girl from Alberta.
They just can't call me small.
I mean, what?
I love it.
That was adorable. And she's like, you know, I like the ladies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you know what I mean.
If you know what I mean, I'm like, there's only one way to mean it.
You said it. So what was the question? How did she tell her friends?
Well, how do you come out as someone in your 40s? I don't think I've had to give advice to a 40-something-year-old about coming out.
Ooh.
Did she mean everybody or just?
No, well, herself.
The girl, she's, herself. Oh, herself. I see. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love that. I think honestly, just like everyone else does, right? Like 16, 40, 80, whatever the age, I think it's just really important to just speak to who you are. And I feel that also there's a sense of agelessness to coming out, because when you do come out, you feel reborn in a way. Like I know when I came out as trans, I was like, so I'm 0 years old again. And I really was kind of relearning things. And I feel like if you come out as gay or pan or bi, however you think, Rita, it is going to light this youthfulness inside of you. So if you're worried about being 40, it ain't no thang, honey.
Listen, do you think when she comes out, she'll lose the accent?
She's gonna method act.
Well, maybe she'll have a new accent. Maybe a she'll be like accent. Down Australian.
I hope so.
I swear that accent. I don't know.
Rita,
that
please was, call back with the please, new accent.
And please tell us where you got that accent. You have uh-huh. to. There's no. That was unbelievable. I need to know more. I need to know more about that Southern Albertan accent. That was
you
crazy.
Are the fan fave.
I will say. Pick like one special person, because you're going to come out to one person, your first person one time. So pick
like
a
that.
Good one. Pick a good one. Anyways, Alicia, oh my gosh, this has been insane. I'm speechless
Unreal.
Right now.
So surreal. Fun. I've had so much fun.
Good.
You guys are
Thank God.
So great.
Thank
I
God.
I love it. I love it.
Thank you so much for coming on to Queerified. Can you please tell the person listening where they can find you?
I actually have two movies coming out that I'm really excited about. So right before I got pregnant, I was able to sneak two films in. One's a horror film, which I hadn't done
love.
Since House of Wax.
Oh my God. What's it about?
So it's about I play a mother with two children who end up sort of one goes missing in the cellar of this haunted mansion. And anyway, it's so fun. It's really fun. And it's really a lot of me throughout the whole thing. So it was a little yes. labor of love, and we got to shoot it in Ireland during COVID.
Was it in one of those castles that people film
exactly.
in?
Exactly.
Oh my
it
God.
Was like
yes.
a dream.
Fuck yes.
Yes.
I think my dreams just came true.
Yes.
I love you in horror.
I got to like quarantine in this like little cottage by this like mansion.
Oh no.
No, it was incredible. It was like you ever see the movie The Holiday? Where Cameron,
course,
yeah,
yes.
okay. So I was
that's
like,
one of my favorites.
Okay, so I was like Cameron Diaz, living Cameron Diaz's life in the only thing is I didn't have Jude Law knock on my door, but other than that, I was living my best life, hiding away for 2 weeks.
I love that.
Like, unbelievable. What a great experience. I love Ireland so much. So that should be coming out in next year. I don't know the exact release date, but
looking forward to that.
So it's called The Cellar.
Cellar. Okay. Easy to remember because they get lost there. Okay.
They get lost in the Cellar. Yes. And then the second film, actually, you're going to really love this because it's Josh Duhamel and myself. I play
I love him. Yeah.
He's so great. But he plays, or it's based on a true story. It's called Bandit. It's based on a true story about an American guy who flees and escapes prison, comes up to Canada, and becomes one of the most notorious bank robbers of Canadian history.
I fucking love it. So you're his like mistress, best friend?
I'm a girl from Ottawa that he ends up marrying, and she has no idea that he's robbing banks.
The wool was pulled over your eyes.
It's so awesome.
And my God, you did two really good movies before you got pregnant.
Yes, I know.
You chose really good ones.
Thank you. And it's a Canadian story, which I haven't gotten to do in film. So love I was that. Really, really excited
Does
about
it. Does it end in someone dying?
I don't die. But,
oh my God, how exciting are
and
those?
And the horror film has a very cool, very unusual ending as well. So
like psychological moment.
It's like kind of like a mind twister. You're like, I think you're going to be gagged at the end. You'll be like, wow.
Love. Need to be gagged when I watch a movie.
Yes.
We have to wait a year now.
No, well, it's coming. Listen, we're almost into 2020.
We're towards the end. Yeah. Happy holidays.
2022. So we're really close. The bank robber film will be coming out in May.
Okay. Awesome.
And then the horror film might be that sort of Halloween season 2022.
Okay,
so,
cool.
But yeah, so two movies next year. I'm really excited.
Wow.
And then Baby next year too. Early start. And then, other things that I'm just sort of like working on, but those are the two that are really coming out next. So that's exciting stuff.
Super exciting. I mean,
maybe
we'll
come
movies.
Back when they come out. We'll talk
Please.
Again.
Please. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yes.
Yes. And I'll have a dress ready for the red carpet, of course.
Yes. You're coming everywhere with me now.
Just inviting myself everywhere.
We're besties for life.
Oh,
now.
Please.
Forget it. It's over.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. Honestly,
thank you so much.
This was everything. And I hope you guys really enjoyed this because this episode meant a lot to me.
Me too.
Until we see you, in the next episode.
Exactly.
See you in the theaters.
See you guys.
Thanks to our very special guest, Alicia Cuthbert, and thank you so much for listening. You can follow us on Instagram at Gigi Gorgeous and at Mark Maverick.
And as always, Queerified is a presentation of Ramble, a Cadence 13 studio. Please listen, rate, and review. It helps us so much. Go into it right now and follow all episodes. Available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you get your podcasts. See you on the next one.